And if you would, adults, please turn in your Bible to Matthew 21, and we're going to begin in verse 33. Again, of course, we're continuing in the parables, and we're going to be continuing in the parables throughout the beginning of fall here. I know it's just the first Sunday in September, but how many of you think it got a little cool a lot quick? It's definitely, you know, we got some global warming going on, and but it just so amazes me because, you know, God says, lest he shorten those days, we'll not be able to stand, and it just kind of amazes me how I see things happening in our world, and I encourage you to please read the newsletter that Dan put together and look towards some of the things that are coming into our future, because God is doing some things in our world, okay? And I'm not talking about the storms, you know, like Harvey that just came through Texas, and we really need to lift those people, which, you know, yesterday, as many of you know, the pastor and a group of guys were not even around the area. We were out in Somerset County. But I found out this morning through Brother Bob, and then Brother Dan told me that our president asked that we have a national day of prayer for our nation and for the folks down in Texas who've been, you know, devastated by this. Really, this, you know, and it's funny because I can remember when the last storm went through in that area. They said it was a storm of 100 years. It's not going to, and then we get another one. There was massive, massive devastation down there. And in fact, Brother Chris Scheller is not here today because they were packing stuff to send tractor trailers and helicopter loads of supplies down to Texas. So please keep him and his crew in your prayers as they're packing that stuff, getting it down to Texas. The devastation is horrible. But as we think about, you know, just where God is and the fact that he's telling us throughout the scriptures of the things that are to come, let us not be brokenhearted, but let us understand that these things must come. These things must come that we may know the signs of the times, where we are and how things are fast approaching. So today, as we get into this word and we turn the clock back a little bit, may we also remember that this very scripture speaks to us even today. So let's go to God with a word of prayer and ask him to illuminate our hearts with his word. Gracious Father, we come before you as your church, as your children. And Lord, just as little ones long to be with their parents and hear the things that they have to say and share the knowledge that you give, Lord, we come to you this day and ask that you would bless us with your word, that you would teach us who you are and how things are going to be. And that way we may understand that when trouble comes, that, Lord God, you're right there with us, loving us and giving us the hope of glory, the hope of your gospel, which is a gospel that will set us free. So, gracious Lord, we give ourselves to you. Now, bring the word through this humble servant, that your word may be preached, not any other word, for it is your word that gives us life. In Jesus' name, God's church says, amen. And amen. Now, Jesus had been teaching, and we're going to get to the parable of the two sons and some of the other things that are in the scriptures here. But we're gonna grab on this one. It's called the parable of the landowner or the parable of the wicked tenants. And I want us to grab a hold of this. So read along with me as I read here, and we're going to read the whole thing through, and then we're going to come back and we're going to preach on it as we've been doing. It says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. When harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves, beat one, and killed another, and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the landowner or when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. When they sought to seize him, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. I'm amazed how this ends in 46. Yes, I'm starting at the bottom, starting at the end. Because here's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to them. They knew something was going on. They saw the miraculous signs and wonders that he was performing. They saw how the people flocked to him. They knew that he had claimed to be the Messiah. And it's not the Messiah that they were looking for. So they rejected him. And who did they fear? God? No. They feared the people. And I'm so amazed because we really find ourselves there today. People don't fear God. They fear other people. And that's where we are in our society. See, the reason I wanted to start there is because I want to come back to this and I want you to think about where we are. Because truly, this parable talks about the church. This parable talks about the church because we're the other vine growers. Okay? When you look at the end here and you see what it says, you know, he says that they're going to, you know, God's going to give the vineyard to another group of vine growers. Well, we're that other group of vine growers. Like I said, I'm doing this backwards today. Because we're that other group of vine growers. Because Israel's already been cast out. Israel's been kicked out of the land. Okay? Not physically, spiritually. They have been kicked out of the place that they were in. God has divorced himself of them. And he's started to work with the church. So we've been given this great blessing. How are we doing with it? The amazing thing is, as the church of Jesus Christ, if you are truly the church of Jesus Christ, we're working at it, aren't we? We are really working at it, and we're trying to produce fruit that we can offer that produce up to God, because this is what it's talking about, the fruit of the ministry. And it's hard going, isn't it? Okay? How many of you have ever grown vines? How many of you have ever grown grapes? I know Dan and Gloria do, okay? They got a big vineyard there, all right? Look out the back window, and right there it is. It's amazing to me, because it takes a lot of work to go grow good grapes. You've got to prune them at the proper season. You've got to spray them to make sure that the bugs don't infest them. Okay, you've got to care for them. Because I want you to think about something. Did they have pesticides back in that day? So how did they take care of the bugs? How did they take care of the bugs? Does anybody know? What's that, Lyle? Oh, probably wasn't that many of them? You wouldn't want to bet on that, would you? Remember, there were no pesticides. Okay? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There were no pesticides back then. Okay, did you ever read the story of the locusts, how they would come and destroy a whole area? Okay, yeah, there were lots of bugs. Lots of bugs. They would literally go out in the field and take baskets and pick them off of the bushes and smash them. And that they literally, it was a 24-hour-a-day job. You were going out there picking bugs. How many of y'all want to go out there and help me pick bugs off of the vines? Okay, it was work. It had to be done because the bugs would destroy the crops. They literally would go out and pick them off the vines. So it's a lot of work. And this landowner wants us to give him some of our labors. Well, who owns the land? What's being talked about here? God delivered Israel into this land. Now we'll go back to the beginning. Because he says that he had this vineyard and he planted it. Well, that assumes something in the Hebrew. If you plant it, what do you have to do to the land before you plant it? You have to cultivate it. You have to clear it. Okay? God cleared the land. How did God clear the land? He drove out, because it says in the scriptures, and he was very true, that as Israel went into the land, God would literally drive the people out before them. Now, some of them God had them put asunder, all right? And we're going to deal with some of that a little bit later when we talk about some other things. But God cleared the land. And guess what? What was there when they were done? Everything. The plowed fields were there. The vineyards were already planted. Everything was already taken care of because God had it set that way. Because he had prepared it for them as only God can. So he dug a wine press in the land and he set a tower. Does anybody understand what's the tower that is being spoken of there? He built his temple, where they would come to worship him. Because a tower represents the person to whom is the owner, okay? Who owns this piece of land? God does. And Jerusalem was the center thereof. He is definitely speaking of Israel. How do we know that? Well, these people understood it because all through the Old Testament, from Isaiah to Ezekiel to Psalms, when we read the Old Testament, Israel is called the vine of God's delight. Okay, Israel is called the vine of his desires. And it's so amazing because the folks of Israel knew who they were talking about. Well, we're the vine. Well, who were the slaves that were beaten, killed, and stoned? I heard somebody say it. Of course, the prophets. Yes, the prophets of old. And God would send his prophets, and they would kill them, they would beat them. Isaiah, whether we all know this or not, was sawn in two, okay? We have to understand, you know, these prophets of old, these men of old that brought the word of God, they were respected with great respect and honor, and they were given places of authority in the community, right? No, they were not. Many of them were rejected, many of them were beaten. You know, the scripture is replete with how Israel treated those servants of God. And it says in here, and when God came, you know, he sent them to collect what was due him. What is due God? What do we owe God? We do. We owe him everything, don't we? We owe him everything. God desires our worship and our sacrifice and our service. Okay? So what he's telling them here is, when I came to receive to myself what was due me, the honor due me, the pledges due me, that I could grow this land, because remember, one of the things we're supposed to do as vine keepers and what have you is to increase the produce, which means taking that word out and literally growing the master's property and making it bigger. Was Israel doing that? Were they taking the word of God, the blessedness that they had, out to the other countries and sharing it with them? Or were they prostituting themselves to these other gods that were out there? Well, they began prostituting themselves. They weren't growing the kingdom. They were actually making it smaller because they were destroying it even among themselves. They were literally giving away the master's land rather than protecting it and making it more fruitful. How about the church today? How are we doing today? Are we making the church that much bigger? You know, if you look at the world, they'll say, oh, well, we're all Christians. You know, we all love God. And God can be anything. He can be that projector over there, or he can be the tree out there in the field. You know, he can be anything that I want him to be. And, oh, you know, all religions lead to God, right? We all know better. There's one way, and his name, Jesus Christ. There is no other. So when we think about where these people were, and Jesus was right there in front of them, because not only did he send the prophets, but he sent his son. and his son went there and he preached in his father's name. He told them that he was God many times. And I think it's so funny because people have told me in the past, and I'm sure you hear it too, well, you know, it never says in the Bible, Jesus never says, I am God. Yes, he does, if you read Hebrew, okay? If you understand what he is speaking when he speaks this stuff, he was telling them emphatically who he was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Guess what the word I am is? Yahweh. It's his name. It's who he is. He was telling them he was God. And they understood that. They knew he was the Messiah. Not only by the signs and the wonders, but because he told them. And what did they do to him? They killed him. They crucified him. Because they didn't want God's son. They wanted the promise of everything. They wanted everything that was God's, but not the responsibility thereof. How are we doing on that? We all want the promises of God. 2,063 promises. Do you know that? The Bible holds, if you take them and bring them down, 2,063. I don't know that for a fact. That's what I have found out in my teachings that, you know, I have set under people. 2,063. There are 2,063 definitive promises in the Word of God. How many curses are there? Seven. Seven. Because they're all wrapped up in Deuteronomy. Because he says, choose you this day, blessing or cursing. Because the seven curses that God gives anybody, because seven is the number of perfection, because if you are blessed, if you are cursed seven times, you are fully cursed. Okay? And those seven curses are in the book of Deuteronomy when Moses is standing there and they are speaking from Mount Ebal and Mount Hebron. They're talking back and forth to each other. And we need to understand, we want to claim those 2,063 promises, right? We want to claim them. But do we want to do what God says to be able to claim them? Because if we're not doing what God says we're supposed to do, if we're not giving homage to Him, if we are not bringing the produce to Him that we're supposed to bring, what do we get? Seven curses. And if you look around our land, you will see those seven curses are taking place. Okay? Those seven curses are taking place. Book of Deuteronomy. When we think about where we are as the Church of Jesus Christ and just what's happening, you know, I have to ask myself, are we any better than what was going on in Israel? Are our teachings or our obedience, our desires any better than what was happening in Israel during the time that Christ was there and before? You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And I really hate to say it, but this whole parable is a warning to you and I and everybody else that if we don't remember to give God what's due Him, what happens to us? This is so amazing because, you know, I have people telling me all the time, I don't understand why I got all this trouble going on in my life. Well, how many of us are loving God with all that we are? How many commands did Jesus give us? Remember, the Israelites had how many commands that they had to follow? How many commands did Israel have to follow? In the Old Testament, yeah. 10, right? They only had 10. No, they had 643. Because they made 643. And 43 laws. Okay? God gave them 10 commandments. But then if you look in the scriptures, he elaborates a whole bunch of things in there, right? And tells them, you know, hey, there's some other things that you need to understand. But there's only 10 commandments. Okay? Now, we're under a new covenant. The new covenant of Jesus Christ, right? How many commandments do we have to follow? Three. Love God, love others, and go. Okay? It's on your bulletin. It's on your bulletin every week. He says, love God, love others, and go. The first two sum up everything in the prophets. And then Jesus commanded us to go. That means to take his word out, right? To take the love of Christ out, to grow the master's vineyard, to grow the grapes that we have something to offer up. But do you realize every time you and I reject somebody out there, because I'm going to tell you this, how many of you have folks out there in the workplace that you just positively cannot stand? Every time you treat that person horribly, you are telling God, I do not love you. Because you are breaking the second law. You are breaking the second command that God has given us. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we need to understand, if you break one part of the law, you break it all. You see, I have a hard time with that because there are some people that just aren't lovable. And I should not have to love them. And God looks at my heart and says, and who do you think you are? Because without Christ, I am the unlovable in all that I am. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are people out there, you know, my mom used to say, oh, they just rubbed me the wrong way. Okay? You know, we're all Pennsylvania Dutch. We all know what that means. All right? Did you ever pet a cat backwards? Okay? They don't like it. And I used to do it all the time. I had a cat, and I would just, well, I shouldn't say I had a cat, because the cat was kind of just there. And I would rub its fur. I was just a kid. I would rub its fur backwards, because it looks terrible when you do that. Static electricity flies, you know. But I would rub its, and it would, you know, it hated it. But if you rubbed it the right way, oh, it would stay there all day. Okay? That's what we're doing to God. We're rubbing it the wrong way. And we got people out there that rub us the wrong way. We need to turn it around. Because the most unlovable person can be your best friend. You want to find the best friend you'll ever have, make your enemy your friend. Love them to the point where they can't stand you. And they have to submit to you. Isn't that what Jesus did? He loved us to the point we had to submit to him. And we didn't realize it until we realized the cross, that he gave it all for us. Every drop of blood was given for us. Now, God has not asked us to give up our lives, but he has asked us to go out there and grow that kingdom. He told Israel to do the same and give me homage. Man, look at the goosebumps. They are all over me. We need to understand that there are going to be people, there are going to be situations, there are going to be times when we are not going to feel that, you know, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go out there and pick bugs off the vine. Suck it up, cupcake. Because it's what we're meant to do, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, when you do, God's love is going to pour out over you, and you're going to find yourself blessed because he brings the increase into your life. Now, does that mean we're not going to have any trouble and you know, oh my goodness, you know, we're doing what God says, and it's going to be hunky-dory and beautiful and wonderful and lollipops and sunshine? No. Because the evil one is going to come and he's going to try and steal it away from us. And sin in our world is going to come and it's going to try and steal it away from us. And the Pharisees of life are going to come and they're going to tell us that we're wrong, that we don't know what we're doing, and we're bigots and we're homophobes and we're, you know, does it sound familiar? But we are to persevere until the end. For Jesus says that he'll be with us and he'll be here to guide us and to keep us. And I'll tell you right now, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. I want you to look around. How many people are in church today? You know, yesterday or last Sunday, it was like, oh, wow, look at church, it's full. Oh, my goodness, boy, it was a big Sunday. It's ugly outside, and it's a holiday weekend. Where do you think everybody is? They woke up, and it was like, just pulled the covers right back up over their heads. All right? We need to pray for them and bless them. Amen? I mean, when you look around and you see the folks who aren't here, we just, and they're all going to see this on DVD and get this. They're going to say, oh man, how many people weren't in church? You weren't in church. That's what's important. But it's so good to see new faces too. You see, you missed that too. There's new people here. And it's good. But that's what we're to be about. Sharing the kingdom, getting new people in, that we understand that together we can make this thing work. That together there is a joy. Together there's a celebration. What do you do with grapes when you run them through a press? We make Welch's, right? No. When they pressed grapes, they made wine. They were looking for the party. There's a banquet coming, and it's called the wedding feast. And I'll guarantee you there's going to be good wine there, because Jesus said he would not eat nor drink of this table until he ate and drank it with all of us. Now, how good do you think the wine's going to be that the Lord Jesus is going to serve? And I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm being talking about filled with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, you ain't felt nothing. Wait till we get to that party. There will be a power and a glory and a filling that happens there that will last for eternity. You'll never need to eat again. Talk about being fed up people. Gives a whole new connotation, doesn't it? But there's a word that we need to get out. We need to get involved in the church of Jesus Christ. We need to get involved in the kingdom. We need to start pruning the vines. How many of us need to prune our vine? Okay? We need to get the bucket out and start pulling the bugs off, because we got a lot of bugs. Get the pesties out and start taking care that we can grow this field. And when the sun comes, when the air comes, because we know he's coming again, right? You know, there's prophets who are out there right now. You're looking at one. He's speaking the word. What are you going to do with what I'm teaching you? You know, we just had this conversation the other day in the truck. I told Charles, I said, you know, I love my job so much because, you know, people constantly come to me and ask my opinion. Oh, Pastor, you got to help us. I said, it's so wonderful, because, man, I'm telling you, I'm a man of words. I'll give you a bunch of words, and I'll give you all the help you need. But the most amazing thing about you all, would you please do something with it? You keep asking me. I keep telling you. It don't change. You know, Charles asked me yesterday, 50 million times, do I have to wash this? We had all this stuff covered with pesticide. Do I have to wash this? He says, the answer's not going to change, is it? I said, praise God. The answer here, folks, is not going to change. God put a period at the end of Revelation. It's not going to change. It's going to keep going the way it's supposed to go. And are we going to be part of the solution, or are we going to be part of the problem that God says, now I need new vine keepers? Remember, we're the last vine keepers. There's no, after us, the story's over. So we need to get it right. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, need to get it right. We need to start doing what he says. We need to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. What does that mean? Well, that means that in all the situations that we find ourselves in, we need to turn to him for guidance and for instruction. And then say, thank you very much, turn and go and do our thing, right? No, then follow him. Do what he tells us to do. And change will come, okay? And it's so amazing, because God knows where we are. He knows we're screwed. He knows we're so messed up. He looks at me and he says, every morning, he looks at me. When I look in the mirror, he's looking at me. And he says, you're one messed up dude. And I look back and I look at that guy in the mirror and I say, yes, you are. I'm glad I'm not you. And then I have to remember who I'm talking to, right? Because I am one messed up dude. But by the grace of God go I. But by the grace of God go I. Because God is transforming my heart every day as I submit to Him. That's what we talked about last week. When we receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, how transformative is that grace? You know, if we've truly been affected by it, we need to take that out and love the unlovable. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Those unlovables, they're the pesties in your grape field. They're that wild shoot that needs to be pruned back and turned into a productive branch. Because that's what we were. Remember, we were the wild fruit too. And we were engrafted in. And now we're being forced by God, because He's pruning us, to grow good fruit. And that fruit is unto Him, and He's going to use it to fill His wine press of joy, and we're going to be there at that wedding feast. You and I have a great privilege here. When I look at this word and I understand this word, you know, we need to not be the ones who are going to destroy the prophets, the people. And boy, I just think it's so amazing, because when you think of the church of Jesus Christ as the Old Testament people, how many of the people who are out there right now reject the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet claim to be preaching the Word of God in their churches? Okay? I really want you to think about that, because they don't take the full counsel of God. You know, well, God really didn't mean that. You know, and that was Old Testament. We don't have to do that anymore. Wrong. No. We need to take the full counsel of God, beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the Word of God unto us and how we need to live. Now, we're no longer under the law that we have to observe the law, because if we begin to observe the law, what do we have to do with the law? Keep it. All of it. How did that work for everybody before us? Were they able to keep the law to the letter of it? That's why Jesus came, to free us from the curse of the law. So we're no longer under the curse of the law if we walk in the love and new covenant of Jesus Christ. But the law is still there to guide us, isn't it? To give us a way, to show us the better way. And if we begin to pick up some of these things and say, well, you know what? God said that for a reason, and that's not a bad thing. And I need to do some of that. I need to watch what I eat. I shouldn't be eating all this stuff. I need to watch how I live. I shouldn't be treating people in these certain manners. When we look at the law and understand that it is, and I think it's so funny, because many of you who've been with me for a long time understand what guidelines are and rules, right? Guidelines and rules, right? How many times did we have that argument? And it's just so funny, because when God says no, it's not a maybe. When God says no, it's a... See, that's the problem. Did you hear Ruth Ann? I said, when God says no, it means she said yes. We need to get her under the word. Please come over here and lay hands on Ruth Ann. When it was coming out your mouth, you were... That was funny. But we have that duplicity in us. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do. How many of you struggle with that? I know I do. Man, there are times when that stuff hits me and I'm just like, and it just tears me up inside. And then I got to apologize to Lynn. Some of you got that. But we need to see who we are, whose we are. Understand that God has set something before us, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been working at this for 20 years, okay? I've been working at this for 20 years. And I am not a master gardener yet. I still am trying to figure out how to produce grapes on certain types of soil. I'm still trying to figure out how to prune some of these branches, these vines, so that they will produce the best fruit. I'm still trying to figure out how to get rid of some of these pests that are plaguing me, okay? I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around just how much water has to be on this thing. Do you see the pictures I'm trying to paint here? Okay, this is a work in process. But if we're going to be a work in process, no, a work in progress. You see, we're going to be having some signs come up here in just a little while because we're changing some things. Next week, when we do the switch, look around because everything out there is going to be entirely different. How about it, ladies, on the hospitality team? Okay? Everything out there is going to be different. All the tables are going to be moved. They'll be at different places. Things are going to be rearranged a little bit because we've been doing this for a little while now, and we kind of see where we need to tweak some things to make stuff work a little bit better. And gee, I think that's part of pruning and growing, don't you? So as we see these things growing, we need to be the ones who change. Okay, how many of us, when you're hearing a sermon, you think about, oh man, I know somebody that should be here listening to this. Well, guess what? That somebody is sitting in your seat. And God has a word that He wants us to understand. God wants us to get involved, not only in how to grow, but He needs us to understand that we are His vine too, that we need to be pruned, that we need to produce good fruit in our lives. So today, I want you to think about, what time are we at? Oh my, we're plenty time. We're good. As we think about where we are and just what God wants from each and every one of us, I want you to see that God has a way for us to walk. And He's told us that we're doing the exact same thing that was done in Israel. We need to come back to the Lord. Now, that's one of the most amazing things about God. How many of us understand that God says, you know, when this is, I got to read this. Let's read this because you all probably don't even see it. Let's read this. Look at verses 34 and then through 37, okay? He says, when the harvest time approached, I'll let you get to your scriptures again. He said, when the harvest time approached, He sent His slaves to the vine growers to receive His produce. The vine growers took His slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. And then it was over, right? No, look at the next verse. Again, He sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. How many times did God give them chances? Once? Twice? Three times? Look at what it says. When the harvest time approached, He sent His slaves. How many did He send? Well, the first time He had to send at least three. But the next time He says, He sent another group of slaves, what? Larger. God is the God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, eleventh. We don't know how many chances. It was a larger group. God gives us chances before He sends His Son. Because guess what's going to happen the second time the Son comes? There's no more chances. We all know that. They already killed the Son. He now lives forever, and when He comes, that's God, and it says that He is going to come, and He's going to take control. Please understand that, but we have that opportunity right now. By the grace of God, we can turn from where we are, the things that are happening in our lives, the things that we're doing or not doing, because sin is not only what you do, but what you don't do that you should be doing, okay? Sin works both ways. And God wants us to understand that where you are right now, I don't care how messed up things are, God wants you to come back, to come under His pruner's knife, so that in your life you can begin to prune the things that you need to prune, that you can grow the fruit that He wants you to grow. God loves you so much that He wants you to become everything that you could ever become. He wants to see you blossom into something that you don't even know yourself to be yet. Okay? I mean, you know, how many of you, I want you to think about it, because most of you here now are you know, over the age of 12, okay? So we have some reason, right? How many of you are where you were when you were 12 years old? How many of you are growing up? Okay? How many of you are getting smarter? How many of you are gaining wisdom? We need to understand that that's exactly what God wants us to do. We get 84 years, if by reason. To do what? Get it right? No. To grow. Because in the end, God knows He has to make us right, because sin permeates our world and it permeates our flesh. But it does not permeate our spirits in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? We live in a messed up tent. And we need to remember that by the grace of God, we've been born again in the spirit, not in the flesh. So we're going to struggle against this thing. And it's not going to be easy. But that's what we're all here for, is to help each other and love each other and make it work. Okay? Iron sharpens. No man is an island. No man. Even Jesus chose 12 to walk with Him. We need to walk with God, don't we? Come under the pruner's knife. And then we need to bring in the produce. We need to bring in the good fruit of our lives. So when that person comes up to you that you positively hate, that rubs you every way but right, okay, when the static is just flying, we need to calm down, pull it together, and remember that that's who we were before we accepted the love of God. And we need to love that person. We need to remember when that situation comes into our lives that says, hey, this is fun. And we know that it can cause harm, long-term harm, if we submit to it, because it will take us in and suck us in. I mean, look at the people out there who are addicted. There's addiction to all kinds of things out there. There's addictions to food, addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol, addictions to people, believe it or not. And God will set us free from all of that if we turn from it and walk with Him. And the amazing thing is, if you're caught up in that stuff right now, are you stuck there? You don't have to be. That's how I have to answer that. Because the truth is, lest you turn it over to Jesus Christ, you are stuck there. But you don't have to be. Because if you turn it over to Christ, what Brother Bobby just spoke back there in the corner is so true. No. We know it's a no because He has set us free. Can I get an amen, Brother Bob? Amen. And that's what He wants to do in your life and in my life, so that we can be a light and help others grow. Isn't that what vine growers do? They grow vines, right? So if we're considered a vine and we can grow other vines, wow, how big can we make God's vineyard? How productive can we make God's vineyard? We need to start producing vines. You know, it kind of reminds me of something Chuck told the guys up at the camp yesterday. He said when he was down in Nicaragua, they would take these trees, cut them down, and make fence posts out of them. Cut them off, sharpen the end, stick them in the ground. Put wire around it to keep the cattle in. I'm assuming cattle, Chuck, okay? Cattle, maybe some goats, I don't know, pig or two. He said you'd come back a year later, and guess what? It was no longer a fence post. It was a tree. You would cut the things off, shove them in the ground, and it would start to grow. What do you think happens to a vine if you cut a hunk off of it and you push it into the ground and it's got good soil and plenty of water? I'm talking biblically here. I'm talking the word and nourishment of God. What happens to that vine? Does it die? It grows. I'm telling you right now. Test me on this. Go over to Dan and Gloria's when he prunes the grapes and take a piece of his vine, take it home, put it in good ground outside, and let God take care of it and watch what happens to that thing. It will grow another grape. God wants us to realize the same principle applies to us. When we help take someone out of the world, and we plant them in that good soil, and we help them get the watering by the water, which is the word of Jesus Christ, they too will grow into a new vine. But that new vine needs to be pruned, doesn't it? Which means we have to walk with those people. You see, I love the pictures that were given in the scriptures that God teaches us. Because when we look at these words, how many of these people were getting it? Here is the master. He sent all his people before him. For how long a period of time? From the time of Adam, he had been working with these people. Then he separated a people unto himself through Abraham. And from the time of Abraham all the way up until the time of Christ, God was speaking through the prophets to his people, and they didn't want to hear it. We need to understand, some of us don't want to hear it. And that's total rejection of God. When God is rebuking you about something, when you're looking at your life and there are things going the wrong way and you just can't figure it out, you're supposed to blame it on everybody else and everything else, correct? No, the scripture says in Hebrews 12, we are to accept hardship as discipline, for God disciplines his children. He disciplines those that he loves. If we were not disciplined, we would not be legitimate children. But as it were, we are legitimate children, for we come under discipline, therefore we receive the love of God. Can I get an amen? So when that brother or sister or that situation is coming against you, don't run from it. Embrace it. Work with it. Grow in it, because I'm going to tell you right now, the best garden I have ever grown, I fertilized with piles of manure. And we had string beans and red beets and squash and tomatoes galore. So God's going to bring a little bit of manure into your life, because he knows what it takes to make something grow. You know, if we had our druthers, we'd all be on the sandy beaches laying in the sunshine soaking up the rays. Have you ever seen anything grow in the sand? You know what grows in the sand? Crabs. Don't want to see. You all get my... I love God's pictures. The beach is a beautiful place. There's nothing growing there, but it's beautiful to look at. Where does the best stuff grow? On the mountaintop? Or down in the valley so low? Let's start getting it right. God loves us, guys and gals. He's got a way for us. He says, you're my vineyard. You're my vine keepers. Let me prune you, produce a fruit, and then you go and do the same thing. I'm telling you, the time's coming short. On the 24th of this month, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that I believe are coming. You know, how many of you are you know, read your newsletter? I don't want to throw out any spoilers. But I'm telling you right now, we're truly getting into the short time. You know, we just had an eclipse that came from Oregon to Georgia. How many of you know in, is it 2026, 24, something like that. 7 years from now, is it, Pete? 7 years. Okay? It goes the other way. What's that do across our United States? Makes an X. Okay? What's seven? Perfection. The solstice, or the solar eclipse, has always been a sign unto other nations. The lunar eclipse has always been a sign unto Israel. God just made one stroke of the X across our nation. 7 years he makes the other. Where are we going to be? We need to understand. God's talking to us now. We need to get the fruit growing. Because when I get there, I don't know about you, but I want to make sure those wine vats are full. Can I get an amen? Hey, let's pray. Would you rise with me? I love these parables, Lord. They are your word to us. And Father, there is so much reality in them, even for us today. We know they were spoken to an audience 2,000 years ago, but Lord, we just thank you and we love you for this word, because we know that we are in the presence of the living word, that you talk to us now through these very words. And Lord, we thank you that we can go out and produce the fruit that only you can help us to bear. So Lord, we ask that you would move in our hearts, move in our beings, and give us the strength and the fortitude to be your growers and to increase the bounty and to bring the produce into the tabernacle before you. For Lord, you have given us that call and you have blessed us. Now may we be a blessing to others and to you. Father, we thank you for this day and we ask that you would guide us and keep us as we go forth from here, undergirded with your word of truth, prepared to do the works of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.